real music matters.
Absolute Radio.
This is
Jason Manford.
Jason Manford.
Good morning, it's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. We're back, everybody, after a summer hiatus. Steve Edge is here.
Hello. Yeah.
Hello, how are you?
It was a hiatus, wasn't it?
It was a longatus. I don't, if that's the word.
It was a hiatus and a lowatus, wasn't it?
Yeah.
With all the hiatuses.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't even know it was happening.
No, I didn't.
I thought we were getting a fortnight off.
Yeah.
And...
but I was filming it. I was travelling the world with my mic in my pocket, just in case.
Yeah.
Always ready.
I took it to Portugal with me. And then they were like, oh, no, you're not back till the whatever it is, September.
This is.
And I was like,
the kids go back to school? I mean, could have done with a break during that, couldn't we? Could have done with a couple of hours then.
It's very odd. I feel like they're telling us something, Steve. Well, what I will say as well is, two things aren't adding up for me. I think I've said this to you before.
Go on.
The Rage R figures of this show.
Yeah.
Which is high. 800,000 listeners every week, consistent for the last decade. Nearly a decade that I've been here, and a million downloads on the podcast. You know, it's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Listening to this show, right? How many tweets have you had from people to say, "Why are you not on this Sunday?"
Like,
or "When are you back?"
Two.
Yeah. Two, Steve. Michelle and Andrew. I can name them. That's how few there are. So what's gone on? Something's
Putin?
Wrong.
Is it Putin? Is he meddling?
Could be. He's messing with the figures.
Rachel figures. First they came for the
make
Rachel
them feel
figures.
More popular than they are.
The guys, make them the bin chat guys. Make them think everybody loves them.
I've got a question for Steve. Why don't you die?
What is in the file? What file?
So two things are happening.
Yamaha file. So it's just sound things.
Two things are happening. Yeah. Either the Rage R figures are wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how that's possible, but they're wrong. And actually, our numbers are in the hundreds.
Yeah.
And that's why.
Yeah.
On a Sunday morning. But there's nothing really else to listen to on a Sunday morning. I've had a flick through the radio. There's not a lot on.
No.
To compete with. So even if you you don't even love it, you just think, it's good music. And, you know, they only talk for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
You know.
Nonsense.
So it's either that, the Rage R figures are wrong, or that many people do listen, but they don't care. You know what I mean? They're not bothered.
I mean, to be fair, I think that sounds more likely, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think so too.
Because people are listening, but they just don't care. They can't bother to tweet. What are they going to tweet? They'll be first, to tweet when we say something wrong, when we get a number wrong.
The third option is this. It's just the type of listener that we have, which if they are like us, would you tweet in to find out why the radio host isn't on?
No, you just enjoy it and then go, well, there you go, that's that.
Yeah. So maybe it's that. Maybe it's that third option. It's just we have got that many people are listening. Yeah. It's not that they don't care, it's just that they're busy. They've got other things on.
Busy people. We're all busy people, aren't we?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Our listeners are busy people.
But anyway, we're back. It's Sunday. It's Absolute Radio and we're here. Have you had an exciting summer, Steve?
Just trying to give the kids snacks, stop them shouting, stop them fighting. You know, that. Just that, you know, I think he's called Mills Lane, that famous boxing referee. He just sort of stands between them and going, and break!
Oh, yeah.
Continue! I've been that guy for 8 weeks.
Yes, I feel your pain. I feel your pain. I nearly died, Steve.
Oh, yeah, this is like a while ago. I was in Spain when you nearly died. Mm.
Well, nearly died.
I'm
being dramatic, of course.
Well,
it's a routine operation, but...
Well, it
was a shock.
Yeah, I bet, yeah. So what was it, your appendix?
Yeah, so... Well, what's odd is I've just released a video this weekend on, not on my appendix operation, of me filming at the Etihad Stadium and the Co-op, because I'm doing the Co-op live arena.
Like
in so we filmed all, but that was the day it happened. So I felt a bit nauseous. So if you watch that video, 3 hours after I finished that video, I'm literally on a morphine drip in hospital. Like, thinking, oh my God, it's over. The pain, I've never had anything like it.
No, I can imagine. Well, I
can't. It's horrible, horrible. And I got home, I got back, well, I was staying at my mum's, as you remember, and I got back to my mum's. She was, obviously she's a nurse, so she was like, just walk it off. Have a glass of water, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But an hour later, she was driving me in.
She's a nurse, your mum, yeah?
She's a nurse, yeah.
Have a glass of water.
Have a glass of water and a word with yourself. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
And but an hour later, yeah, she was driving me into hospital, and I collapsed in A&E at one point.
Did you? Like fully collapsed? Like fainted? Like fully. Couldn't stand.
I literally went in and was sort of like, and I thought, I need the bathroom. I'm going to be sick. So I was on the way there. Yeah. The next thing I just remember, I was on the floor. And there was some nurses around me slapping me face. Jason.
You actually passed Jason. Out, fully passed yeah. out.
Weird. And my mum said that some, like it was literally in the doorway, you know, of the with the automatic doors, yeah. like just closing and opening.
Just bouncing and banging onto your head.
and so apparently, my mum was like checking us in to the at the desk there. And she was obviously looking around for me, couldn't see me. And a woman had walked, like stepped over me,
nice.
Walked in, yeah. and then was stood behind my mum, could see that she was looking, and then said, are you looking for the man who's on the floor? Like dead calm, like it was the most yeah. normal thing in the
there
world
he is,
to see. It's over there.
With the door banging on his head, security guard yeah. trying to drag you by your ankle out the way.
Oh, it was weird. But yeah, so that was, yeah, it was pretty... And actually, I've got to say, two women have said to me, and I'm just quoting here.
Right, you go on. I think it's going to be controversial. What you're going to say?
Well, I'm just putting it out there. Two women said to me, including the nurse on the day, which was she went, "I've had three babies and appendicitis, okay. and appendicitis is more painful."
Oh, okay, so got that. Yeah,
I'm just look, not my words, the words of a mother.
Yeah.
Triple and also mother. At the end of it, you don't get a nice baby, do you? You don't even get the appendix. They send it off to check for cancer.
You can't keep it. They don't put it in a jar it off, or anything. In a little kiln in the jar with some pickling vinegar. Nothing?
Yeah, no. Hey, I'll tell you the other thing she said, quickly. She said, oh, you've had it before.
Oh, what, had appendicitis
before? Yeah. Mm-hmm. She said you must have had it before, but obviously I must have walked it off.
Is this when she was holding it in her hand?
Yeah.
She's examining it.
No, she just said, oh, there was lots of scar. This is gross. If you're having your breakfast, I'm sorry. She said, there was lots of scar tissue around it. And the appendix, because you know the appendix is literally an appendix. Like it just, it's this flappy bit that just sort of sits on the bottom of your bowel, is it? And she said it was actually fused to the inside of my, stomach wall. Like, not stomach wall, your abs.
Well, just because it was...
Because it had been... I don't know. It just because I'd had it before. Yeah, and it'd been
trying to find a purpose.
Absolutely disgusting what goes on in that body. But I'm all right now. Thanks for your well wishes, everybody. It's time for one of these.
Questions for Steve.
It is time for a question for Steve. If you want to email in, you can email me, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Aaron says, Jason and Steve, really hoping you're back on the radio soon. Oh, there you go.
Oh, there you go. They are there.
Yeah, but they are there. I've got a pressing question that needs your expert opinion.
I hope we're not too late. This is the problem with having time off. This guy's waiting for us.
This could be
the fourth emergency service.
Exactly. Like many parents, I've been navigating the chaos of back-to-school season with my two kids while prepping their packed lunches earlier this week. My other half caught me sneaking an extra Capri Sun and wagon wheel into the bags. Not for the kids, for myself. She laughed and said it was ridiculous for a grown adult to be taking those to work, but I said, why should the kids have all the fun? So here's the question. Yeah. Is it socially acceptable for me to bring a Capri Sun and wagon wheel to work, or am I committing some kind of snack-based faux pas? I'm looking forward to your verdict.
I mean, I think if you do you, isn't it? I mean,
absolutely.
Let them stare while you're supping on that cool. It's got to be cold, hasn't it, Capri Sun, I think.
Yeah, it's got to be a cold Capri Sun.
Also,
have they worked out the straw in the side thing? Because that was always a nightmare.
There's different ones. There's a slightly larger one with a sort of winged sort of cap. Doesn't use the smaller ones.
Because that was always the worst, wasn't it? You're trying to... The design of putting this sharp straw into the side.
Foil when the thing is made out of foil, but a slightly thinner foil. It was very. Yeah. When they pitched that in the meeting, somebody would have gone, but surely when you push the straw, when it does rupture,
yeah,
there is nothing holding the thing together under your hand. It's all going to spray out. And he's gone, yeah, forget that.
That'd be fine. Fun
what
though.
What you got then? What you got?
Also, I think the juice goes past the hole.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's above the hole. It's like water level. It's above.
The only way of doing it is to hold it tight, which means squeezing it. No one has ever opened a Capri Sun without spilling on it.
With it losing some, no.
No way. And the wagon wheel's an interesting one, isn't it? Again, it's one of those classic things that people say used to be bigger.
Mm, but just your hands were smaller, weren't they, I think? It probably was slightly bigger, maybe. But, I mean, your hands were smaller as well. Big thing.
Do you feel, I don't want to slag the wagon wheel off.
Mm, yeah, go on.
Do you know what I'm going to say?
I just think it's a little bit disappointing.
I think they always feel a little bit stale. Like,
The biscuit.
Even a fresh
bit,
one.
Yeah, the biscuity bit always feels a bit stale. Wasn't there a point when they started doing like raspberry ones and different flavoured ones a few years ago? And then
I think, yeah, they put like jam in them and stuff like that.
It's not, I think even when I was a kid, I would have gone, oh, that's all right. I wouldn't have gone, oh yeah, wagon wheel. You know what I mean?
No.
Didn't blow your mind, did it?
No, I don't think so. But it's a classic packed lunch fare. I've got to say, I went through that phase with my kids, packed lunches and stuff. And as soon as they got bored with it before I did, to be fair. But once they got back onto school lunches, I was like, oh, thank God.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, packed lunch. Yeah, it's a chore, isn't it? You don't need in a busy morning when you've forgotten to, you know, to do it the night before or whatever. Mm. You don't need. But don't forget, it's packed lunch day today. Like.
Yeah, and then you get down, you forget to get bread the day before, and they're suddenly, you know what I mean, they're going in with half a bagel.
Little holes in all the compartment holes. They're not, there's ones that don't fit anything. Like, there's not one that's the size of a bag of crisps or the size
it's a pain.
Of a, you know.
Hey, anyway, it is interesting. Wagon Wheel was launched in 1948, Steve.
Yeah, right. It was a British thing.
Burton's, yeah.
Yeah.
3¼ inches, 8.3 centimetres across.
Mm-hmm.
By 70s and 80s, they were closer to 3 inches, 7.5. So from 8.3 to 7.5, that's in the 70s and 80s, they'd already been reduced.
That's the period everyone says they were the best.
Right. Well, now,
6.5
centimetres, Steve. So, yeah, they are two.
What
two
sort
and
of
a
wagon is this?
This is not, it's not a wagon. Wagon's not going very far. So, yeah, they've shrunk about 25%.
Oh,
so you are right. What goes in a packed lunch, Steve? I would say sandwiches with crust cut off.
Yeah, my boys are all right with the crust. My son has a weird thing where he's invented a sandwich, which is cheese and hummus, which is instead of butter. It's great for the mornings because you don't have to wait for the butter to, you know, soften.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea,
hummus
actually.
Is the butter and then cheese. That's what he likes.
Good idea.
And then I'd say, you know, a bag of crisps or mini cheddars.
Yeah.
Well, my son likes a fava bean. Because he grew up in Twickenham. Can't get him down here.
No. See, I'm happy with the...
go online at Waitrose, but you know, a far... it's just a broad bean by a different name, really.
What about a Dairy Lee triangle? They're, again, another design flaw.
Well, yeah.
Another terrible design.
It's hard to open without getting covered in little bits.
Very hard to open
very
without.
Hard. I mean, if they tried to make it simpler, and I feel like they've made it more complicated, that it peels the whole triangle off now.
Yeah.
But it's the sides that were always the problem, not the top.
What crisps are you? If you're going to pick a pack of crisps, what are you?
Talking about things from your past that stood the test of time, I think a pickled onion Monster Munch. All the Monster Munches.
I'd say I like Monster Munch.
I think they are as good as I remember them.
Yeah.
They might be smaller, there might not be as many in the bag, but they are still good.
Is the shape of a Monster Munch a monster or... it's
I
foot.
Think it's meant to be a monster, but
is it the full foot? Right, the full monster.
I don't know.
And then chocolate bar. What are you going for? Tunnocks, Kit Kat, penguin, trio,
penguin, penguin, Kit Kat, something like that.
Yeah,
I think
a breakaway.
Yeah, I feel like some schools don't allow you to put chocolate in there anymore.
No, you're not allowed in some. Yeah, that's fair. Though, to be fair, kids are getting chunky, aren't they?
Yeah.
And then the drink, the Capri Sun,
Capri
Yum
Sun,
Bongo.
Yeah. Fruit shoot.
Vimto.
Any of those?
Fruit shoot, yeah.
My son loves a Vimto now. He's proper, he's like a...
Can you get it down there, though? Because it's a funny one, isn't it?
Get it anywhere.
Oh,
Vimto, you can get it anywhere. It's like Henderson's Relish. People in Sheffield go, oh, we can't get it. outside Sheffield. You can get it in every Morrison's.
That's good. Because I always feel like Ribena's the one down there.
No, Vimto's everywhere. Vimto's always
Sorry to go on. I'm supposed to put a song on. But I met somebody in Portugal over holiday who works for Vimto in Africa.
Oh, right.
Apparently, Vimto in Africa is a totally different drink.
Is it?
Yeah. It's the can looks cool as well. I was trying to get some for us. But it's like a really popular drink by all accounts.
Never know that.
Yeah, apparently so. But it's like a thick, syrupy sort of sugary drink, which, because we've got different like food rules across the...
it used to be the A numbers, didn't it?
Yeah, so because of that and sugar and all that sort of stuff, basically that drink, we wouldn't be allowed to sell it because of the RDA in this country. No. We wouldn't be able to sell it. But in Nigeria, Vimto is the biggest market outside the UK.
It's good to know though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely huge. So there you go. So, little Vimto fact for you.
Where real music matters.
This is Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio.
Jason Manford.
I had a bit of a memorable journey over to Portugal, Steve.
Oh, right.
I told you about this at the time, but for people who don't know, so because of the hospital situation of being in, having my appendix out.
Yeah, flying, my family, not an option.
Not an option, couldn't fly. Family were already there.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to be flying out on the Monday. So I had to postpone a few gigs and stuff like that. Thanks to John Bishop stepping in at Kendall Calling. And then I was supposed to be flying out on the Monday, but I couldn't, you know, DVT and even, to be honest, even just queuing, stood up. Yeah, well, I can't do any of that. So there's a lot of that going on. And then, so I said to Steve, Uncle Steve, my tour driver, I said, should we just drive? Just go for it.
Yeah,
fancy it, because he was
drive, you mean him, don't you?
Well, he was driving. Yeah.
Shall we just drive? Yeah, we shall. We shall drive for 18 hours or something. We feel our little kid.
Well, he loves an adventure.
No, it's a bit like driving, don't they? And he's one of those people.
He loves driving. Yeah. And to be fair, the week after he was also coming out to our place in Portugal with his wife and kids and all that. So it's sort of, I thought, this works out quite nicely, actually. So we set off down to Portsmouth.
Yeah.
It was like the last, I mean, they're so popular, these ferries. We only just got on it. We had like the last room.
Wow. How long does the ferry take to get to Portsmouth?
Well, the one we were on, 33 hours. So, no, actually, we went to Bilbao. But you can get one 20 hours, I think.
Okay.
So it's like just one overnight. But this was two overnights. So we like drove down Portsmouth, got on the ferry there. I've got to say, I'd do it again. Absolute doddle. Brittany Ferries, lovely, nice grub, nice room. I mean, we were in the actual, no windows or anything, but I tell you what, I slept well. Rocked me to sleep, pitch black.
There's no windows and you're getting rocked. That's a good night's sleep there.
It was lovely. Lovely. Bit of entertainment, nice food. And then a few games of cards, read me book, and then you're there.
Nice.
It's not like stood there for 3 hours in, you know, waiting for your passport to be looked at by somebody who hates you because of Brexit. You know what I mean?
That's everywhere, isn't it?
That's everywhere now, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was just, it was lovely. So chilled. Compared to an airport, it was chilled. That, if I was doing an advert for Brittany Ferries, I would do the two back to back. I would have the stressed dad or mum in an airport trying to cajole the kids and looking at the massive queues, and then I'd just have the family rocking
you up. You just reading your book in a windowless room.
or like even sat on the deck just looking at the water. It was lovely.
Yeah, just watching England disappear. Goodbye, England.
Yeah.
You know, all that. Nice.
And we did P&O on the way back via France and stuff like that. So all really good company. So I'm not, this is not an advert for them, by the way. I paid for my ticket. I didn't get anything
Rob Brydon does the P&O once, doesn't he?
He does, to be fair, yeah, he does. But maybe I'll get in on the next the next round.
Do Brittany. Yeah. Go up against him.
So we got there and then it was a bit of a drive from Bilbao to the Algarve, 10 hours. But we just cracked on with it. But the one thing I was going to talk to you about was, I travelled with, you know, because I'm like a supplements guy now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, you've got all your supplements, haven't you?
Yeah,
and you probably had stuff for your operation as well. Did you have, like, painkillers and stuff?
Yeah, all that, antibiotics and painkillers and whatnot.
And you've still got your appendix in a kidney in a jar. You're still carrying that?
Yeah, I just had that on the dashboard.
That's 100
like a nodding dog. You know, some people have a nodding dog.
You've got your appendix bouncing back as a scarred appendix.
Yeah.
A half fused.
Grumbling appendix. No, I don't know. I take collagen.
Yeah.
Collagen. Protein
Which one are you
shakes.
On? Are you on the, I use, the one Davina's on?
No, I've got Will powders I use.
Oh, okay. What's that called?
Will powders.
Will powders.
Good name, isn't
it? Good name. Yeah, it is a good name.
So I have them and their protein hot chocolate as well and throw it in together. I don't know. Look, you know, the studies of it, I think it works.
Yeah.
But you've got to have it with vitamin C. There you go. There's a little trick for you there for collagen to activate. Apparently so. Look, I'm not a doctor. I don't know, but that's what I think. Anyway. Just throwing it out there. So anyway, I got this collagen, but it is basically a massive bag of white powder. Pull in, we're in a blacked out Mercedes V-Class van.
Yeah.
We look like drug dealers, Steve.
Yeah.
And so all these camper vans are going through, and the police are just waving them through. So there's no one's checking your luggage. No, you've not gone through the X-ray machine.
No,
nothing.
It's fine.
None of that.
They only pull you over if you look suspicious.
Yeah, exactly. And we look suspicious in a blacked out Mercedes van.
Yeah, just one bloke in the back.
Yeah, exactly.
Fella in the front, groggy. I've been driving for 16 hours. Yeah. We've been driving for 16 hours.
Appendix on the dashboard.
Appendix on the dashboard.
and I'm just lying there in the back of the car as well.
Drugged out your head.
And then they sort of have a look around the car. They were a bit disappointed, I think, when they opened up and just saw it was just a bit of luggage, some, you know, paddle rackets and whatnot. And then he found this bag of white powder.
Mm. Oh.
And for a minute I thought, this would just be my luck.
Yeah. But then he looked at your skin and went, this is collagen, no?
Collagen?
And you went, of course it is. Yes.
Obrigado. Take it with vitamin C. Ciao. And off I went, and it was fine. So I got away with it. But it was a moment I thought, gosh, what a stupid thing to have done.
I mean,
brought a bag of white powder to Portugal with me. So we're chatting the stupidest thing you've ever done.
Mm.
We've all been there, Steve, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah.
And you mess up.
We've all done stuff.
I threw it out there on the socials. We got a lot back. Matthew said,
imagine.
Went over my handlebars as a kid, cut myself to shreds, walked home with the bike. Young friend asked me what I'd done. I go to show him and do exactly the same thing again.
Oh, that's pretty impressive.
That is impressive.
Have you ever done that?
Do you ever remember that feeling going over your handlebars?
Oh, man, I did. I went over the handlebars about 30 miles an hour. Back brake. Main
terrifying.
Road at the bottom. It was either hit by a car or pull this brake at 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I skidded on the side of my face for about 50 yards.
Oh,
I had a scab that was, I looked like the Phantom. It was the entire side of my face. Then it broke into three scabs.
Oh my gosh.
Awful.
Oh, do you know what? I got a flashback then. I mean, I used to do it a lot as a kid as well, but I got a flashback then of when I was in Centre Parks the other month.
Mm.
I'll tell you about this.
No,
where,
what happened?
Oh, God. This has actually kept me awake at night. And if the family's listening, please, like, let me give you some tickets or something. I'm so sorry.
Done?
Steve, right?
What did you do?
I was just going around. I was waiting for my family to get ready because they were all in the house taking ages, teenage girls and that. So I was just riding around in a circle on my bike at Centre Parks. Just in a circle, just riding around, just keeping it moving.
Yeah.
Anyway, whilst I was riding around, I'd seen this dad and his daughter. She was only like, five, Steve.
Mm.
Just
starting on the bike or proficient?
No, she was all right. She was fine. But they were starting to come down the road.
Yeah.
And I judged it. I thought, just in a split second. I can fit another circle in here. And so I did another circle, but I was fine, and if everyone would have stayed fine, no one would have hit anybody.
And if everyone else would have stayed fine, no one would have hit anybody. Is that being read out in court?
Oh, no, it's not funny. Honestly, it makes me feel like upset.
What happened?
She panicked, the kid. because she saw me pulling out, you know, to start my next circle.
Yeah.
And she panicked, moved her handlebars, slipped, and then, like, skidded on the floor and cut her knee.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I know. And I was just mortified because, I mean, it was her fault. No, but you know what I mean? Like, she's five.
But she hasn't learned, you know.
No, she's just seen somebody. She doesn't know that I've got a plan to drive in a circle around.
How would she know that you've been doing circles for the last 15 minutes?
Yeah, but it was like 40 yards. I thought, oh, we've got plenty of time for me. But she just panicked, you know, bless her, just panicked. But she went, oh my God, honestly, I felt like it ruined the rest of my holiday. It happened on like the Wednesday, and it's all I could think about the rest of the time. And the dad, but I mean, he was so he was obviously a bit annoyed.
Yeah.
And then looked up and saw it was me as well. And was like, but I was so apologetic. And then, he was obviously, but I just thought, oh gosh, thank God he was like a reasonable dad, because otherwise I'd be battered here now.
He might have been his fault. You know, you don't know. He might have gone, because we're pulling out, and he might have freaked her out. And she might, you know, it might have been his fault. That's why
I don't think it was. I think in order, it was her fault.
The 5-year-old.
Then my fault.
And then his fault.
Then me, a grown man.
Yeah. Well, if she'd have been fine and knew that you were fine, that nobody would have got hurt.
Yeah. No, I did. It was, I still feel bad about it now. But yeah, that's one of the stupidest things I've ever done as well, to be fair. This fits quite nicely. I just had a little flashback, actually. Did you ever, like, get a backy off one of your mates?
Yeah.
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 I did one once.
Yeah.
Where, and he had, like, the bar on his back wheel.
The bar? Oh, like stunt nuts. What, you mean coming out the side?
Yeah, that sounds like a great nickname for one of your mates.
I like stunt nuts, calm down.
Stunt nuts.
You know, the things that held the back wheel on, they were slightly longer. They were called stunt nuts, I'm sure they were.
Right. Well, those.
Yeah.
And I just stood on there, went down the road, and then the tyre ripped my legs to shreds. It's one of the most painful experiences of my life.
Yeah, he must have had short stunt nuts.
It wasn't good. Wasn't good. Brooke says, once my hairdresser finished and she'd done a great job, she came towards me and opened her arms and I gave her a hug. She was actually just taking my gown off. It was one of the most awkward experiences of my life.
Yeah. It's hard, isn't it, when you never know. Yeah. I think somebody did that to me, an actress did that to me once. She grabbed my hand and I gave her a hug and then she was just trying to look at my watch for the time. It's easy done.
Yes.
But she went for my hand. I thought, that is
almost a bit weird that she did that, to be honest. I tell you what, I have done. He's a friend of mine now, thank goodness.
Yeah.
But I worked with someone with one arm and I didn't know.
Yeah.
And it was when we were doing Captain Hook, you know, Peter Pan, and obviously wearing the hook and that. And we just sat around this dinner table and they took us out for dinner and that. We're chatting away and I've not noticed at all. He's got a prosthetic thing on there, noticed. And he's saying, how'd you find it? I said, I loved it. It's brilliant. I said, the only thing was weird was just having the one hand, to be honest. That was that, you know, because you can't pick things up and I just kept forgetting which hand was real and which one.
Yeah, yeah.
I must have said one hand about 400 times. You know, when you look back, I thought, and I could feel Ben, the fellow I do the panto with, Ben Nicholas, kicking me under the table.
Yeah.
Oh, that was, yeah.
And maybe you weren't an honest mistake.
I know, but it feels like one of them where you've like gone to shake it, you know what I mean? And
they
give you the other hand and you think, oh, hang on. So it can happen to any of us. It can happen to any of us. Alison said, I had a dark patch on my ceiling and it was really bugging me. So I bought paint, a roller and tray and got set about sorting it. A friend called round halfway through the third and so far unsuccessful coat and pointed out the dark patch was the shadow of the light shade.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Louise says, I was looking for my phone under my car seat using the torch on my phone.
Yeah, we've all done that.
We've all lost our phone
while it's in your hand.
Yeah. Or like been on a phone call. Where have I put my phone?
I'm gonna go.
You know where my phone is?
I've got to go, mate. I've lost my phone. I've lost my phone.
And Edward says, I was given evidence in court. Oh, this is a juicy one.
Well, this is a good one.
The defence said to me, are you aware that this person was a Roman Catholic? And I replied, I knew he was Catholic. I didn't know he was Roman.
That sounds like a joke.
Sounds like something from
like a
Walkman Wise sketch.
Yeah.
But I get that. In court, you panic, don't you?
You panic, yeah, yeah.
Because of the formality of it. Even if you've not done it, you're just there as a witness.
You're trying to answer the question, honestly.
I never knew he was a Catholic. You can imagine him always saying it. Like, I never knew he was a Roman, Your Majesty.
Yeah.
Just read the next one, Steve.
Oh, go on.
Right. Stupidest thing you've ever done. That's our topic today, and absolutely. Here we go. This is from Emma. Right, Emma.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important that it's a woman as well for some reason. Okay, makes this funnier. When I lived in London, I was walking for the bus once and I heard lots of police sirens behind me. When I looked around, it's making me laugh. When I looked around, I saw a man running from the police, so I thought I would help. I stuck my foot out and tripped him over. Mm-hmm. As he hit the ground, the police cars continued to drive past him. Turns out he was just running for the bus.
It's a sort of act of great citizenship, but completely misjudged.
Imagine. I was mortified.
They were just police cars. It wasn't people on foot chasing it.
No. Why would you think that? She said I was mortified.
You do it.
It's a poor man missed his bus, and I had to sit next to him whilst we waited for the next one.
I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. Oh, dear. Well, that's a good deed gone bad, isn't it?
Oh, it's good deed gone bad. Our other favourite subject. Oh, gosh, can you imagine the moment when the police cars carried on as well?
Eh?
Don't get involved, guys.
No, don't be angry.
Laura says, I used a whole can of de-icer on my car door that was frozen shut, only to realise that I hadn't actually unlocked the door. Easy done. Yeah. Jennifer says, drying dishes whilst very tired and wondered why the towel wasn't getting wet, so I held it under a running tap, then was vaguely surprised that it was wet. I think sometimes you just have a little brain fart moment, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Just checking that you've not dropped through into another world. Has it not?
Yeah, going on with this? Bernie says, my husband was working under our kitchen sink with the waste pipe off.
No, I can see what's going to happen here.
Yeah, passed me a dish of water and asked me to empty it. I poured it down the sink.
Straight in his face. What are you doing? He told her to do it, though.
He did, to be fair. Yeah. Martin says, I'm torn between two. He's got two stupidest things he's ever done.
Wow, this is good.
First one, missed my own stag do to Spain and the 25 lads went without me. I forgot to turn up to the airport.
Oh, just forgot. Well,
that's not good, is it?
Sometimes that's the best.
Well, yeah, to be fair. If you're the sort of person who misses your own stag do,
they don't want you on that stag do.
Yeah. Have you ever been on a stag do that people thinking, you know, the only thing that could make this better is if the stag wasn't here. The
stag wasn't here. He's ruining this.
Boring. His second one, he's got my daughter's date of birth wrong, tattooed on me.
Got it wrong? And it's tattooed on him?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's not good, is it?
I mean, because you've got to live with the consequences of that for the rest of your life. People will be going, the daughter will be going, where's my birthday, Dad? When is my birthday again?
I sometimes have to check, because I've got, my son is the 6th of August, my daughter's the 5th of Jan, but just that 5 and 6,
yeah,
I have to have a moment before.
You've got a 23 and a 22 and it's the same, you do go,
just have a little moment, don't you, sometimes. This is from Steph, who says, after cutting through the lawnmower cable whilst cutting the grass, I told my husband, well, I always roll over the Hoover cable and nothing bad's ever happened.
Yeah, I mean, I could see, where the logic there, but it's a slightly different system.
Flawed logic, yeah.
Yeah.
And Andrea says, felt really tired and thought I'd have a lie down with cucumber slices on my eyes.
Yeah.
Nice, isn't it? Nice moment.
It's all right, isn't it?
Well, this is what happened that went wrong. She didn't have any cucumber.
Oh.
So she used peach slices instead.
Anything substitute? What?
It's not a substitute. She says, I couldn't open my eyes for 3 days.
It's just more sugar.
So, straight out the tin.
Tins as well.
Yeah. Hit me with your best fact. Fire away. All right, time for our favourite part of the week. It's hit me with your best facts. This is where you send us your best facts and me and Steve judge them to decide whether or not we think they are the best facts. That's as simple as it is. It's one of the simplest games on the radio.
It says it in the song, doesn't it?
Hit me. Quite right.
With your best fact.
And if you win, what do you win, Steve?
You win. Do you know what's weird? We joke about this every week, but I found my Absolute Radio mug the other day. I nearly took a photograph and put it online. It's absolutely destroyed. All the colours come off it. You know, we joke about how it's not fit for purpose. It really isn't. I don't think I've even used this. It's just been sat. It's in the cellar, so maybe it's not the ideal sort of temperature.
Maybe
for a
that's
cup,
right.
But
yeah,
none of the other cups down there have fallen apart. But I'll send you a photograph of it. It's absolutely shocking.
Who knew that? All those jokes about it not being fit for purpose, actually.
It actually.
A genuine warning.
Yeah, that is a fact.
Shall we start?
Yep.
We'll start with an octopus fact.
Of course we are.
Which we love. And it includes something else that we love as well. Gary says, did you know the largest octopus ever recorded was the same length
as a double-decker bus?
As a double-decker bus.
Yes. That's the unit of measurement. Football pitches and double-decker buses.
Wow. That's a bit. Imagine finding that bad boy.
Yeah. Ooh, okay.
That's a big older. So that's last, arm to arm, is it? Leg to leg.
Well, leg to summit. Yeah.
Well, yeah, who knows? Yeah,
we don't know, do we?
Maybe just pleased to see you.
You never know if you're stretching them out and trying to work out which the size of it and going, why is this one
huge,
bigger?
The giant Pacific octopus, 9.1 metres, 30 feet across.
That's almost a kraken, isn't it?
Yeah, that's, yes, definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's another animal, isn't it?
Yeah.
What about this one? Boffy, a long-haired Jack Russell, is the only dog to set foot on the North and South Poles.
Oh, what's his name?
Boffy.
Oh, okay. Only, well, I mean, of course. I mean, there can't be many, can there? I've been to both of them.
Boffy, long-haired Jack Russell Terrier. He belonged to the explorer Ranulf Fiennes.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, 1979, 1982. The Transglobe Exhibition circumnavigated the world along its polar axis, and Boffy went along with him, trotting around in little boots.
Nice.
That's cute, isn't it? So that's a good one, that. Quite like that. We've got one here from Andy, who's dad, and Toby, who's aged 8.
It doesn't doesn't sway us.
Doesn't get you anything.
We are fact-based. You don't get any extra points.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, he feels like he knows that, and he's gone, it's from both of us.
Yeah, you know, clever, I mean? Clever. Yeah. Well, their fact's a good one, to be fair.
Okay.
You could fit every planet in the solar system in the gap between the Earth and the Moon.
Ooh.
With roughly 285 miles to spare. Gosh, that's nuts, isn't
it? Up.
Yeah, if you line them up.
Ah, spread out a bit, haven't they?
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a good fact. Whoa, that is a good fact, isn't it?
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Average distance from Earth to Moon is 384,000 kilometres. And if you line up all the seven planets, excluding Earth, the diameters are 363. I wonder if that's always been true, because what about Pluto? Because I remember when Pluto was a planet.
Yeah, but didn't it become a planet again and then not become a planet again?
Did it?
I think
they've been snide on Pluto.
I feel it's a bit snide as well. You can't make something a planet and then not make. You know what I mean?
When you've been a planet all your life and then.
No, and then they go.
No, you're not.
You know.
I mean, dwarf planet. They call it a dwarf planet.
They call it a dwarf planet. And it didn't have its own moon. It didn't orbit around its own something or other. That's what
I think they changed the goalposts on what a planet was.
I feel like they did. And when they changed Uranus to Uranus, I mean, it ruined it for me.
Uranus.
Yeah, I wasn't interested after that, really.
Yeah, that's really what kept me interested in physics.
When I tapped out.
Jason's message says, the meteor that wiped out the dinosaurs 65 million years ago was responsible for turning tomatoes red. Deal with that, big guy.
Wow. They mentioned that in Jurassic Park, didn't they?
That's not mentioned, is it?
No. Or the David Attenborough thing when he's, what's the planet of the dinosaurs?
Planet Earth.
Yeah. No, he does one about dinosaurs.
Oh, right.
Seen that? Just no, one about actually. Dinosaurs. And he's explaining how this meteorite, and he's going, and obviously they, you know, the amber from the trees protected. And you're like, mate, you've got to mention your brother here at some point. But he doesn't. He doesn't. What he's mentioning amber coming out of trees, being crystallized and things being held inside it. That's why they found a bit of this meteorite stone. And you're like, mention, just go.
Well, Glover invented
Jurassic
this.
Park. Just say it. But he doesn't.
No, what a shame. Yeah, mostly true that, the fact about the meteor. The asteroid impact that caused the dinosaurs' extinction also influenced plant evolution. So it created stress conditions that triggered the spread of a genetic mutation in tomatoes linked to
and production. Probably forced rhubarb, because that sounds like something that was forced.
Yes. This is from Graham, who says the world is running out of sand.
Running out of sand?
Running out of sand.
Where's it going? It's been turned into other stuff, like glass and stuff.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. Sand is the most consumed raw material after water. Yeah. Mm. Construction, concrete, grass, asphalt uses massive amounts.
Yeah, forgot about that.
Desert sand isn't usable.
No.
Too smooth. And so demand for river and coastal sand is causing shortages and even sand smuggling in parts of the world.
Sand, that's why we've got Shingle Beach here in St. Leonard's. Somebody nicked it all.
Exactly. That's nuts, isn't it? Yeah. Running out of sand. Well, I tell you what we're not running out of, though. Hannah tells us there are 350 different types of pasta in Italy.
300 and remini?
350, Steve.
Is that? I can only name about seven, if that.
Well, what do you reckon the top 10 pastas are?
Spaghetti.
It's got to be, hasn't it?
Linguine. Penne. Fusilli.
Penne, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Then it gets a bit... What's the one that looks like a little shell? Macaroni, obviously.
Yeah.
That's used a lot, isn't it? Mac and cheese. Mm-hmm.
Fusilli.
Fusilli,
the corkscrew
isn't?
One.
Yeah. There's a big penne, isn't there? There's a giant penne.
Rigatoni, the large
rigatoni.
One.
Rigatoni. That's what I was thinking of.
Top 10. I'll give you the top 10.
Yeah.
I'll say this one.
Are you number one?
No, from 10 to 1.
Okay.
Orecchiette.
Orecchiette, yeah.
Linguini, number 9.
Linguini's number 9.
9, yeah. 8 is lasagna, the lasagna sheets.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Farfalle, the bow tie farfalle, one.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
That's nice. Yeah. Tagliatelle.
Somebody's just having a laugh, isn't they, at some point? Just going, this is one of the 350 of them. There's one that's sort of shaped like genitals, just somebody's done for fun.
Tagliatelle, macaroni, rigatoni, fusilli, penne, and number one, of course.
Spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
Yeah, spaghetti. Oh,
good fact there from... I tell you what, strong week's going to be tough to pick a winner here. What about this one? From Lee, who says, there's a place on Earth so far from land that its nearest inhabitants are astronauts.
Like the space station.
That would be the space
they're
station,
the
yeah.
The ones, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
I'll give you some extra detail on it, Steve. Port Nemo, it's called, in the South Pacific Ocean.
Okay.
It's 1,450 nautical miles, 2,688 kilometres from any land. So the nearest humans are usually the astronauts aboard the International Space Station, which is only 400 kilometres above Earth.
So do you reckon if they order something and they deliver it to a neighbour, they have to ring the space station and go, has anything been delivered for, you know, a box of wine? Do you know what I mean?
That's exactly what's happened. I don't think they've got Prime. They've definitely not got Amazon Prime.
No, what would be no point, would there?
No, it's not coming next day. Tracy says, did you know that fireman's water is wetter than normal water? Did you know that, Steve?
I feel like we've had something around this fact before.
Well, I feel like we had a philosophical question once, didn't we, which was, is water wet?
Yeah. Remember there that? Was something about water, but what is there something added to that? Fireman's water that makes it wetter?
Fireman's water, yeah. So the firefighters often add a wetting agent.
Right.
Their hoses, so this reduces water's surface tension, making it spread and soak into materials better than plain old water. Okay, so it's not wetter, but it's in a strict sense, but it works like it's wetter.
Like it's wetter, yeah. Spreads more, yeah. Okay,
and what do you reckon? Is water wet? Does just while we're on it.
It wasn't, was it? Wasn't that?
No,
one?
I don't.
I think that was the fact water isn't wet.
Yeah, wetness. Yeah, exactly. It's like your skin's wet, but the water's not. Like, if it touches your skin, it's not. So
okay, yeah. Like what it touches is wet, but it's not.
That's one of the, I feel like that's a couple of drinks in.
Yeah. And then trying to explain, that's probably why that one didn't win the best fact, because it's hard to explain when he's sober, but a couple of drinks in. No, what I'm saying is, listen, water's wet, right? And then somebody just throws a pint in his face.
Yeah.
That's not wet.
Yeah, your face is wet.
Wet. Face is wet.
Carl has come up with a philosophical one. I quite like this.
Oh, I like a philosophical one.
Our brain named itself.
What? What do you mean?
Our brain named itself.
Named itself brain?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it did, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, because it's obviously...
You could say that, like, our brain named our eyes. You could say...
Well, you can say it about anything, but it's just something about it naming itself is quite...
Yeah, I know that it's something, yeah.
You know, the concept of it. Developed language, it developed the concept of what a brain is, and...
Yeah, it developed brain surgeons. Brain surgeons invented people to do surgery on itself.
It's what? Obvious. Yeah, it's not as snappy. I've got to say, I feel like Carl has done you there.
This is why I don't contribute. You never enter. I just say which one's the best one.
All right, what about this? Well, I'll tell you what, we've got three left, but we've only got time for one. Do you want a New York one, a gecko one, or about a bell?
Bell.
Bell, all right. Chris says, there has been a bell that has been ringing since 1840 on one single battery.
What?
Yeah.
So not a bell like a church bell, like a bell, like a doorbell.
Like a bell, yeah. It's the Oxford Electric Bell at Oxford University. It's been ringing continuously since 1840, the year.
Well, it's constantly ringing, or you can press it and it rings? Or is it it's, just
no, it's,
always
it's
ringing
continuously,
out?
It's ringing continuously.
And on one battery?
Powered by two dry pile batteries. Right. No one knows exactly what the batteries are made out of, but they've lasted over 180 years.
Surely we need to find out what these batteries
are made out
of. Why don't
they get those? Yeah, why don't they?
You power cars on these batteries? All sorts.
Yeah,
no point in the sort of 200 years of somebody coming and going, right, so basically, somebody just turned that off. They just turned it off.
What? The ringing bell. We must have looked at these batteries at some point.
At some point, yeah.
But why is nobody? There's obviously there could be a solution to like all of our power problems. There
could be everything, and it's a constantly ringing. There's so many questions.
Oh, the batteries are sealed in wax. If scientists crack them open, the experiment would be ruined. It's one of the longest running science experiments in history.
How long is it again?
180 years. It's been going.
So they've just got to wait. Till when it eventually
for
stops,
it to stop.
Crack it open and go right.
Yeah.
We've got these new batteries the last 189 years.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Oxford chose to preserve it as is. Most think the batteries are early form of zinc magnesium dioxide dry pile, but nobody can say for sure without breaking it open.
Mm. Well,
I guess it's one of them.
Clearly not. I mean, no battery runs this long, so it's something you don't know.
Something different in there. Something from the alien. I think it's alien. I'm going to just say it. I'm saying it. We're all thinking it. Let's pick a winner, Steve. I'll give you a quick recap. We had largest octopus. We had a Jack Russell going to the North and South Pole. Mm-hmm. You could fit every planet between Earth and the Moon. A meteor turned tomatoes red. The world is running out of sand. There's 350 types of pasta. A place on Earth so far from land that its nearest inhabitants are astronauts. Fireman's water is wetter than normal water. Our brain named itself. And we had that last one, the bell that's been ringing since 1840 on one single battery.
Tricky,
isn't it? Very well, good. Some strong ones.
Always like to remember one that you can quote. And you will remember.
Yeah.
And I think the one that you could fit all the planets in the solar system between the Earth and the Moon in a row.
Yeah, that is a good one, actually.
I think you're going to remember that one.
Yeah.
No one's asking you to name all the planets. No one's asking you for that distance at the end, 279, whatever it was.
Yes.
Just, you can fit all the planets between the Earth and the Moon. If that's true.
Fair enough.
And it's obviously been BBC Bite Size has been done.
It's all been checked. It's all been checked
by the BBC Bite Size people. But that one, it's got to be.
Okay, fair enough. I'm not on holiday now. I think if Graham's The World's Running Out of Sand had come before the holidays,
yeah,
that might have won, because I feel like,
Goldie, wouldn't it?
Well, I just feel like a lot of that sand is in my car.
Maybe that's the counter of the argument. You know, the world is not running out of sand. People just need to.
It's just not. We all just need to drive out
somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, fair enough. Well, we've given it to Andy the dad and Toby aged 8. It might have even been the first kid.
But it's very good. I can see how that would have been. Did it come up as well as the two of them coming up with that?
Yeah, we're nothing but fair. We're nothing but fair. Andy and Toby, you win the mug. It's a shared mug, I'm afraid.
Well, it'll be in two by the time you get it anyway, so fine.
It'll be in two, yeah. You can have the handle, Toby.
Yeah.
And Andy, you have the mug bit.
You can have the remaining 12 pieces.
Yeah, that's winging its way to you now. If you want to join in next week, email me, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Jason Manford. Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
Thanks for joining us this week on Absolute Radio. It's lovely to be back, isn't it, Steve?
It's nice. Something to do on a little chat.
Yeah, little chit chat. And what have you got up to at the moment? Are you just back with the kids?
Back with the kids. Kids back at school. I've got the wine harvest coming up soon. You know, that time of year again.
Getting your grapes ready.
Well, I know, but I'm struggling this year because the company that normally does the wine for us have gone bust. So, throwing that out there. Anyone in the Sussex area know of a vineyard that takes loads of grapes and turns them into wine? That would be great. Or else I'm going to have to do it myself, and I just haven't got the time.
No, or the skill.
No, I think, you know, it's centuries old, isn't it? I think it can be done, but I haven't got the time or the skill.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Right.
All right, well, if there's anyone who does that, who can take Steve's grapes and turn them into wine, we'd love that. We'd love that. Let us know. I am back on tour. Of course I am. Lincoln tonight. And then we've got, obviously, got the last week of the Answer Run on the BBC, and then back out next week. Where am I? Cambridge, Fareham, Guildford, High Wycombe, Basingstoke, the showbiz quadrangle. Feel if that's the right shape. I don't know if I mentioned enough places. Feel free to come along. We'd love to see you at one of the tours. And also at the Co-op Live in Manchester, we've just released the top tier, and those tickets are a bargain, £24. So you can find more details at jasonmanford.com. Next week, we'll be back, of course, same time here on Absolute Radio, and we are going to be chatting, being ripped off. We're going full Watchdog next week.
Okay. I've got a couple of good ones.
Well, you will have, because you present Watchdog, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I don't know. That's why I don't get the payback, you know, when I am ripped off.
Right. So we're talking being ripped off next week. You bought something, you thought it was something, and it ended up being something else, or didn't turn up, or whatever it was. We want to hear from you. Jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Have a lovely Sunday. Have a top week. Take care.